Welcome to Three Things I've Learned with your host, Susan Dolce, where we share the stories that shift our souls. In the next hour, we will dive deep into the soul-shifting magic of stories. Stories of radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. We're all students in this soul school called life. We don't need to do this alone. Why not share our notes? Three Things I've Learned starts now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Three Things I've Learned with me, Susan Dolce, where we share the stories that shift our souls. Today is a really special show for me. Besides being a bit starstruck, I'm also joined by one of my very best friends and colleague, Leone Dyer. And the reason I wanted to have Leone here was because she's a part of the story that I'm about to tell. And I also know she's a big fan of my guest, which I'll introduce here in a little bit. But it was about a year ago, I think it was, what, was it August or September, that Leone and I were on a retreat in Mendocino, California. And if you're not familiar with Mendocino, it's God's country. It is home to the beautiful redwood forests. And it's amazing and all just by itself. And so we had an early morning group walk, silent walking meditation. And we went on to the back of the property where we were staying. It was a beautiful Airbnb that had just all this property and all these woods in the back. And the goal was to be silent and mindful in our steps and to listen to what nature had to share with us and just to be open to receiving its wisdom. And we weren't out there for very long, at least for me, before my message, it was loud and clear. And I was brought to tears by what I picked up. I'm going to get teary-eyed now. I heard very plainly that the trees and the wildlife and the butterflies and the bugs, they're all put there for us to know that God is always present. It's a constant reminder that our source, your creator, whatever word resonates for you, is always just outside in your grass, in your trees. It's just right outside your door. And that whenever we feel lost or distant from God, all we need to do is go into nature and reconnect. And I'm sure my guest today understands the meaning of that message. She has a really extensive bio, but I'm too excited to talk to her, so I'm just going to share the highlights. My guest today is Holly Wharton. She's the author of 17 books, you guys, 17 books, four about business mindset, some that journal her long distance trail walks. She walks 1,000 miles a year. Okay, I got to wrap my brain around that, 1,000 miles a year. She has 5 inspirational short reads books. And today we're going to talk about her international bestseller, If Trees Could Talk, Life Lessons from the Wisdom of the Woods. She also hosts her own podcast titled Into the Woods with Holly Wharton, and she's the creator of Heart-Centered Energy Work. Holly works to help people get to know themselves better through connecting with nature so they can feel happier and more fulfilled. Holly, I'm so excited to have you on the show, and fellow tree whisperer, that's hard to say, Leone Dyer, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So Leone and I have read your book cover to cover, back and forth, probably Leone a few times. I think she uses it as a reference book. Am I right?
Oh yeah. I have it tagged and everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, people who have video are like all tagged up. But so we know, cause we've read the book, we know how you were inspired, but I'd love for you to share what your inspiration was to write this book.
Okay. So this was January of 2018. I was on a forest bathing meetup group. I'd never been before. It was the first time I was going. And went with this group, and we kind of went around the forest doing different activities, silent walking, listening, smelling, touching, that kind of thing. And then towards the end of it, we went to this yew tree forest, and they said, pick a yew tree and just connect with it. And I'd already been talking to trees by that point. So, and I love yew trees. So I saw this tree that just, it just stood out for me, not for any reason, but it was, I think it was energetically, it just kind of went, and I went straight over to it and I touched it. And it said, you know, you're working on this book. I was working on a novel at the time. And he said, you know, it's going, it's very challenging for you. It's very difficult. And I was like, yes. And he said, I have this other idea that's going to be a lot easier for you. Trees have stories. People need to hear their stories, and you could write a book. You could go around collecting the stories from trees and put them in a book. And I thought, oh, yeah, I could do that. And that was the start of the project.
Well, Leon also has, if I may have her share her tree story, because I think before we get into the message of the trees, which I mean, right now I feel like is really profound and it's something we need to hear right now. She has a few tree stories, but when did you first notice that trees had energy and that there was a presence there, that there was a connection?
As a child, I connected with trees. I had a tree that grew outside our house, outside my bedroom window, a huge maple that I had connected to. And when I went to college, came back, and the tree was gone. Mm. And it felt, I wasn't just mourning. I mean, something inside of me was gone. And it was kind of like that, the beginning, but I couldn't, at that point, I didn't understand. Now looking back, I'm like, okay. But since then, trees have been the mainstay of my spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. I connect with trees. I need to be with trees. I happen to live next to a national forest. So trees are, they are my everything.
Well, they're definitely a presence. And the thing is, like when I was reading the book, I guess because when I get the opportunity to go out in nature, I want it to be quiet. I want to hear the birds. I don't want to have my headphones in. I don't want to be listening to a podcast, even mine. but so many people, like you were chronicling, just walk right past. It's sort of like just scenery without ever stopping to understand what they're there for, you know, not just for beauty, which they are. So that leads me to... When on the retreats that Leona and I have been on, I feel that there a way to introduce yourself to a tree? Is there a good way, a bad way? Can we trespass on a tree? Like, is there proper etiquette in getting to connect with the tree?
I would say, and I just wrote a blog post on how to talk to trees, kind of the basic connecting. And when I wrote that, I did a little bit of research to see what other people had to say about this. And a lot of people said you have to approach it with the sun behind you and you have to circle clockwise and just all these things. And I just thought, would I do that if I were meeting a new person? No, yeah. like I don't approach you with the sun shining above my head. And I'm just respectful. You know, hi, how are you? I'm Holly. Let's have a chat. I'd like to get to know you. Just the same way you would a person. That's my experience. I don't think you need to have a special ceremony. If you would like to have a special ceremony, that's up to you. But I think as long as you approach the tree with respect and gratitude, that's all you need.
What's the thing, Leon, where, because she's the big hiker. Leon is, she lives in God's country in Maine, and she's got woods and mountains. I don't want to call it ritual, but like when you like leave a hair or a piece of sage.
You just leave a part. So when you're, my understanding, this is kind of how we're entering. So when you go to someone's house to stay, you take a housewarming gift or you leave. So and we just had house guests that lived in an RV because we're in COVID, and they brought me a gift, which was lovely because they were taking up time. And, you know, so when you enter someone's home, forest, you just leave something behind. You just leave a little gift. And because the essence is you're taking something. So I leave a piece of hair. Because that's something that's very, a bird can build a nest or, I will say though, I am very, very leave no trace behind. So if it's not part of, don't leave an orange peel if it's in northern, the northern hemisphere. Even if it will, even if it's a natural element, just don't do that. So, but yeah, I leave a piece of hair. And I will say I pick up stones and pieces of, limbs that have fallen on the ground. So I do take. So I leave a lot of hair. A lot of hair is left.
The first time we were on a hike and we did that, I was like, really? I've got to like, and I was trying to just find one hair and I'm like, ow. Anyway, I think this is a good segue here because again, so much, I mean, I really want to get into the messages, but one of the things I felt that was really important and it was sort of, more deep in the book was about trash and about taking care of Mother Nature and picking up what we leave behind what you do. What other people leave behind. Can we talk a little bit about that? I think that's really important.
Yeah. So I will often carry a little bin bag or trash bag with me in my backpack. And if I'm walking through an area and I see a lot of trash, bottles and wrappers and things, I'll just pull it out and just start filling it up. And there was one tree in the book that specifically said, like, pack your stuff out with you. And when you see stuff, grab other people's stuff and take it out with you. We don't want to see this stuff. And the energy of that tree was really, it was like a rant. It was like, we don't like this. We don't want to see it. And I actually had a reviewer, a book blogger who reviewed my book, kind of took offense to it. And she said it felt like it was like telling you off. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah. You wouldn't go over to someone's house and just dump your trash there. So why would you do it in the forest?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm always like, every time I get to go on a hike, I don't really live in an area that's conducive to that anymore. But I'm always surprised at what people think, like Leon said, they think that a banana peel, just because it's biodegradable is okay to leave. But if it's not part of that landscape, if it doesn't grow, it's not indigenous to that area, you need to be very conscious about that. A funny side story, now that I'm going to say that, because this just popped into my mind, so I feel like I should say something. My grandmother was an avid gardener, and she had this big apple tree in the backyard. We all lived in the same, like in this huge house. And one year she was in the newspaper because there was a pumpkin grew in the apple tree because she had composted behind the apple tree, and this pumpkin vine grew up and was hanging in the apple tree. Anyway, I digress. I just think that's hysterical. So we'll take this opportunity to take a quick break because when we come back, we are going to talk about all of the messages about there's so much wisdom. I'm like blown away by this book. You're listening to Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares practical tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you learn to live your best life. Live the good life, connecting your physical and spiritual self with Sabrina Wright, every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationDocRadio.com.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day, taking 100% responsibility for your life. You know, a belief is a thought you just keep thinking. So the questions become, what is your mindset? As you assess your strengths and weaknesses, you need to believe and empower yourself. When you change your mindset to, I am, I can, and I will, your courage, your purpose, and your power, and your greatness begin to evolve. Make the commitment today. Obtain the discipline and be willing to do whatever it takes to learn, to grow, and develop yourself in order to win at life. You are worthy, you are talented, and you have the ability to create your life of abundance. For you are your greatest assets. I'll see you next time.
Hi, everyone. I'm Daniel from intuitionwisdom.com.
And I'm Dr. Pat. We've got something super special. What a generous gift. Wow.
It's time to discover who you really are, and we're offering a free intuitive reading on our website at intuitionwisdom.com. All you got to do is take the step to become one with the universe, and the life purpose is that bridge. So please come to our website, intuitionwisdom.com.
That's intuitionwisdom.com. Life purpose unlocks abundance.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Today, we are talking with Holly Wharton, tree whisperer, podcaster, and author of the bestseller, If Trees Could Talk. Since you've got this amazing audience, can you please tell everybody where they can connect with you or where what your website is?
Yes, my website is hollywharton.com, and that's Holly like the tree, W-O-R-T-O-N.com. And that's kind of the hub for everything. So I've got my podcast on there, my books on there, links to social media, all that good stuff.
And her podcast is great, you guys. And she's up there weekly. So I really suggest that you give her some time. It's great. She's just, it's wonderful. I'm still so starstruck. I can't believe I'm talking to you. Okay. All right. Get over myself. Okay. So we were talking about how important it is to make sure we take our trash out, that we're trying to save Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is screaming right now. That's how I feel, right? The Arctic is melting. Woods are on fire. Hurricanes are coming. It's like, it's crazy right now. Mother Nature's saying, get your heads out of the sand, right? So Leon and I, when we were, like I said, when we were prepping for this, we were talking about what do the trees, like if it's 2020 now, and if you could go out, like, what are the trees telling you now? Have you had any time to interact with trees lately? And is there anything... Like, we need some wisdom, please.
Yeah, we do. I should do a special 2020 message from the trees for my blog or for the podcast. I have it. I've been crazily busy. Just ever since things started lifting up after lockdown, I've just all the kind of courses I'd signed up for are all now happening, and they've kind of gotten squished into a... So I've been out in the woods a lot, but doing kind of practical courses rather than connecting spirit with spiritual things. The message that I've been getting from the trees in the last few months, though, has been get outdoors. And that's what I've been seeing. Like when we first went into lockdown here in the UK, you were allowed to get outdoors for one type of exercise or one, I think it was one form of exercise close to your home. People were walking like never before. I mean, I was going out on all my local trails. It was packed with people. In a good way. I mean, I live in the countryside, so there's plenty of room for people to be roaming around, but I saw more people than ever. And I think that was one of the benefits of lockdown was that people couldn't go to the gym. They were stuck at home. They couldn't go to work. So they were getting outdoors. And that was the message I got from the trees is that, yes, this has been a very difficult year. It's been very challenging. We've got the virus, the things are weird, but people are getting outdoors and that's important. And people are connecting with nature that weren't used to connecting with nature. Like this wasn't a normal part of their lives. And now they were getting outdoors more. And so that's going to create change little by little.
Yeah. And one of the clear messages in the book is slow down.
Yes.
And if anything put a pause on the world, it was this pandemic. Like, we were forced to slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Leon has another story that I'd really like her to share, because we're still experiencing fires out in the western part of the United States and Northern California, not too far from where, well, we traveled through that part when we were coming back from Mendocino last year. And I'll let you tell the story, Leon.
Is this the Ojai?
This is the Ojai story.
Okay. Okay. So we're in Northern California for the season's experience. But several years prior, we were at a retreat in Ojai, California, which is just northwest of LA. And beautiful country. And we went for a walk, part of our retreat. And we just walking through these older tree growth, and there was a little brook, and there was this huge, massive oak tree, like just in the tree, like you had to walk around the tree. I mean, it was
massive.
It was right, and it was one of those where it was one of those. If it was a human, if it was a person, it would be, you know, very like attention seeking. You know, it's like you had to touch it. You could not ignore the tree. And of course, everyone in our group had to hug it. So fast forward a year later, we attended the same retreat. And however, in between the two retreats, there had been a massive fire, and very much like 85% of the landscape had been.
Yeah. It was massive.
And I went for a hike, and just myself and another person, my mentor. And where there used to be trees, there were now just piles of ash in this very barren land. But it had started to grow again. So there was grass, but then there were piles of ash. And those were the trees in this pile of ash. And we're walking and, you know, we're talking. And
okay, wait, I'm going to stop you because you're leaving out the best part. Okay. And this is my podcast, so I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Because in between, in that year, so the fires came and Leon had this strong connection with that big, massive oak tree. And you were thinking, oh my gosh, the oak tree
is gone. Yeah.
It's gone.
And so I was devastated. I mean, I kept asking my mentor, do you know if the tree's there? And she hadn't, she didn't know yet. So we're now walking and my mentor and I are talking. And then I get this like message, like, you came back. I mean, it was like someone was standing there, and I was like, and we were not yet in view of the tree. And I was like, oh, we're here. And I turned the corner and here's this tree. And I just want to, and I hugged this tree, and the message was, I mean, clearly had a message, and I was crying, saying, I worried about you. I was so scared. And this was clearly, I don't know if it's, you know, male, female, you have related to that in the book very much. But this was definitely a woman. I felt, you know, just that motherly care that a mother has. And I asked if she was okay, and she had burn marks on her, and she was okay. She was scared, but she has more work to do, as we all do. That was the message. And I was just, I was like, oh. It was lovely. And this is a tree. And I hope it's safe now because there are fires there right now.
Yeah. Same area.
Same area. And so that was when that message is, I am okay, but I still have work to do. And so we all do. And so do you. That was a theme within your book that I just kept going back to. Like, and what is the work? I think is my question to you.
What is the work? I think that's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. I would say, one of the overarching themes for me was, of course, slow down, as you said, you move too fast. But also just personal growth through nature, through connecting with nature and getting to know yourself
through spending time in nature. And I think that the more we know ourselves, the better we know ourselves, the better we're going to make decisions in our lives, or the easier it will be for us to make decisions in our lives that are the right decisions for us, and the easier it will be for us to stay on the path that we want to be on, rather than, you know, just kind of making life happen to us, which is kind of how I lived the first 30 years of my life. Stuff happened and I just dealt with it, but I didn't consciously create my life, and I didn't make very good decisions sometimes because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted. I just existed. So I think a lot of the messages in that book were about getting out to nature, to connect with nature, to connect with yourself.
Yeah, that's because I think people are so, well, I mean, in the work that we do, we're both life coaches. Leona and I are both life coaches. And that people are so stuck in their heads. Mm. They're cycling around in their thoughts. And it's hard. It's just so hard to even just get them in their bodies, let alone get them in their bodies out on the earth to connect with that energy. Our mentor and dear friend also, she is... she must earth bathe, or I use the, I'm not, probably not using the right term, but she'll get herself in this frenzy and then she'll be like, what is wrong? What is the problem? And she's like, oh my God, I haven't been outside. And so now she makes it a conscious practice. She goes outside barefoot in the grass. She lives in Southern California, so she can do that year round, just to have her breakfast or her tea. And then it resets her. It grounds her. She gets that energy that she needs. And I shouldn't say I don't understand. I wish that more people taught that. I wish it was available, especially to kids. Yes. That was one of the things in the book that I was like, I put dog-eared it and wrote stuff. I mean, oh my God, it's so scribbled over and highlighted this book, was how to, and I want to talk more about this. We're going to take another break. When we come back, teaching our kids, yeah. What are we like? Teaching our kids to play, teaching our kids to use their senses. Yes. There's so much depression and anxiety in the world. Teenagers are so stressed out, and just sitting on some grass, leaning up against a tree, it's going to make a world of difference. So I want to talk some more about that when we come back. You're listening to Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce, Holly Wharton, and Leon Dyer, and we'll be right back.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. Two very important and life-changing words, I am. I have an alphabet game I wanted to share with you today. Start with the letter A and come up with as many positive words as you can think of and place those affirmative I am words before them. For example, I am abundant. Move to the letter B and do the same thing. I am beautiful, and so on. This requires you to actually focus on coming up with positive words and learn to state your affirmations with conviction, validation, and focus. Begin to say them numerous times a day. Learn to say them with feeling and belief, and you will begin to see your confidence, your focus, and your self-worth evolve. Hope you have a beautiful, successful day, and I'll see you next time.
Do you feel that you must stand alone in this life? Listen deeply, beloved soul. You are not alone. Laura Hosford offers you authentic channeled messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace to guide you forward in transcending your consciousness and becoming the change you wish to see in the world. Want to get involved? Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group and get some goddess energy in your life. Women supporting women, emotional and spiritual growth. What's not to love? Just search for Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook and join Laura's growing community of women who are finding that divine love has lived within them all along. Share your stories, your challenges, offer your insights, celebrate spiritual growth. Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group today.
Do you drive yourself crazy trying to make important decisions? And when you finally do, then you start second-guessing yourself. Would you like to know why you do this and how to change it? You can. When you take time to go inward, you'll find a wisdom that resides in the body. Begin by quieting your mind and sending your awareness into your body. Notice where there may be a discomfort. Ask it what it wants you to know. Listen carefully. It will reveal what it is about making this decision which holds you back. You can keep asking for information until you reach the deep core value of what keeps you from comfortably making a decision and sticking with it. Awareness is the first step toward making change. I'm Carrie Kadambi, and I'd love for you to join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit my website, thedivineguidancegift.com.
Welcome back. I'm Susan Dolce. This is Three Things I've Learned, and we're chatting today with Holly Wharton, author of If Trees Could Talk, and I've got my sidekick. I'm going to call her my sidekick today, Leone Dyer, who's a life coach, and we have been chatting about the wisdom of the trees. And before we took a break, we were talking about there's a chapter in the book, Holly, where one of the trees says to be playful and to engage our children and make it a game. Can you talk some more about that? Because I was like, I love that part.
Yes. And I was really glad that the tree brought this up, because I think it's really important to educate the future generations about the importance of connecting with nature, especially because kids these days are so connected to technology, which is fantastic, but often at the expense of disconnecting from nature. And I don't have children, so I'm very much about educating adults. So I was really glad that the tree brought this up, because this is absolutely important. And I just think it's important to help kids get outdoors in whatever way they enjoy, whether it's cycling, whether it's walking, whether it's hiking, whether it's camp, like whatever, like help the kids find what they enjoy. And maybe they won't like it at first. Maybe they don't like getting dirty. Maybe they don't like bugs, I don't know, but like help them connect with nature. So I have a friend that says she really likes nature as long as it doesn't touch her. So if a child is like that, like help them, you know, feel like they're okay in nature and they're not going to be, you know, dirtied by it or having to touch things or get bitten by insects or what, make it easy for them is what I'm saying. But help them find what's joyful for them in nature, doing whatever it is they like to do. Maybe it's just walking barefoot on the grass. Maybe it's going to the park. Maybe it's looking at flowers in a garden. I don't know. Help them find what they enjoy and encourage them to do that more often.
Absolutely. And like you said, with this pandemic now, everybody, I think it's definitely medicine. And like you said, technology is not a bad thing, but we can still be outdoors. We can still play. And what you said that really lit me up was encouraging our children to be joyful. Yes. Because I just think that play is so different now than when we were kids. You know, it was like you'd go outside, you'd be out until, I grew up in a city, so you'd be out until the streetlights came on and then you had to be home, but you were always out and you were, you know, always just playing and getting them to, I liked the part was getting them to use their senses, because that goes back to getting out of our heads and into our bodies. And what does the soil smell like? What does it feel like? What do leaves smell like? I think we can't teach that to our kids early enough.
Yeah, I agree. Here in the UK, there's this really, I don't know if this happens in the US as well, but here in the UK, they have these things called forest schools, which are basically like preschools and kindergartens for in the woods, where they're like teaching the kids, like instead of being a classroom, you're in the woods and you're outdoors and you're playing with sticks and dirt and stuff. And that's a big kind of movement here. And I'm getting the chills as I say this, because I wish all kids could have, even if it's just one day a week, access to something like that, if it's not every day. But I think just reconnecting with nature or connecting with nature before they disconnect from nature is really, really important. I think that's going to be key to saving our planet and helping it to regenerate from all the problems we've caused it. And
yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I was like, they are our future. If we don't, yeah. if we don't usher them into a better understanding. I mean, look at Greta Thunberg. Like, you know, we've got our youth are our champions for fighting climate change and getting us back to where there's a. I'm gonna read this. Oops, sorry, noise. There was one thing in the book here, and I wanted to read it verbatim because it was in the question part. This is on page 82. And this was like when you, at the end of the chapter. And it says, do you have hope for the future of our planet? How long do you think it might take us to regain a deep sense of respect for connection with nature? How many generations will it take us? That kind of blew me away. Like, how many generations is it going to take us? I hope it doesn't take us that many.
I know.
Yeah. Leon, did you want to chime something in on that?
How many generations are that we need to invest in our children so they can help heal this earth? It sounds very daunting. And so we need like, just bring that down. Yes, we're still doing that, but just bring it down where you're just caring for yourself first in nature. And if you're caring for yourself, then you will care for nature. And I think, we have the Rudolf Steiner School. Are you familiar with
her? Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So they're very much go out into nature, and which my children are a part of, and I'm very happy for that. But kids, even for ones that live in the country, here in the United States, unfortunately, do not get to invest time in nature.
And I mean, a lot of the schools are even limiting PE.
Ooh.
Because of the pandemic, schools are going back, but schools are opening classroom outside. There are many schools, and we live in the Northeast of the United States, so I don't know how long that's going to happen because today's only like 58.
Hypothermia.
Yeah. maybe the first week of September. But many schools are, I know even our cousins in Phoenix, right now it's very warm for them, but October, November, they will be outside. So there is this part where this pandemic is happening, and you're right. It's kind of shifted people to actually get outside. They're forced to go outside. Now these kids are learning outside. Mm-mm. So I think that's obviously that's a positive, but I think kids will get to experience it.
Yeah.
Well, that's my hope. That's my hope. I mean, that's not happening here in Michigan, at least not that I'm aware of, but have, like I said, in my area, because everything is about learning, book learning, book learning, book learning, which is important. I mean, but time to connect with nature or soul learning. You know, I had a woman on my show last week, and she was a mindfulness instructor, and she teaches to middle school and high school kids, teaches them mindfulness classes. And so that's starting to come up in schools here. And, you know, taking them outside would just add to it, you know, just having them connect that, see what does the tree say to you, right? Okay, so not that I mean to be so abrupt in my segue. That's no segue at all. So one of the things Leon and I were talking about too is like, what is our responsibility now as caring, soul-filled, mindful humans that we are attempting to be and our best selves? What do you suggest? What can we do to help people connect, not just our children? Because I mean, as a parent, that seems easy, but like, what can we do to get this message beside have you on my podcast and wave your book and put quotes out and tell everybody they need to read it. What can we do, Holly?
Get outdoors and get outdoors with your friends. You know, instead of going for a cup of coffee at the local cafe or, you know, going to see a movie or whatever you would do with a friend or going shopping, like go outdoors for a little walk or go to the local park or go to the local arboretum or go somewhere natural out in nature with a friend. Suggest that. Not everyone's going to be up for it, but, you know, start trying.
Leon had a, I think Leon was doing something sort of similar. I think you did like nature walks with people as like therapeutic nature walks.
I do, right. I do walks in nature where it's more of a meditation walk.
Yeah.
So we're very quiet. You cannot talk. And we have lots of trails where we live that are not difficult. It's fascinating. I myself, when I hike, very much my husband's used to this. I'll start walking and everything that's been bottled up inside of me starts to come out. So I'll start to, you know, I'll be hiking these very, you know, these hills and mountains, and I'll just be sobbing, crying. Mm. And people will pass us and they're like, oh, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, my husband's like, she's fine. You know,
this is
don't
normal.
Pay attention.
Yeah,
yeah. but that, so many, so several people who, that I've had clients who are like, oh, you want me to go outside? I don't know. They have had very similar experiences because they're walking, they're using their body, they're, you know, it's, they're exerting themselves and things start moving in them, mm-hmm. and the emotions start flowing. And then plus I make them carry a rock, a fairly heavy rock. but yeah, to go out, they go out and then we sit under the trees and they journal, and it's a very healing experience.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna take one more quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about sharing with the trees, like dumping on the trees is what I wrote in my notes, that the trees want to hear our confessions. Sounds like AKA Leonard Jacobson. We'll talk about that when we come right back. You're listening to Three Things I've Learned. I'm Susan Dolce.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Learn to love more fearless with me, Kate, through fun, lively, real conversations as I interview expert guests who have charted a course out of the darkness into the light. Listen live every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. To connect with me and check out my work as an intuitive healer, guide, and coach, visit lovemorefearlessintuitive.com.
Step into your highest potential and tune into Embodying Your Higher Self, Tools for Conscious Living with Michelle Chempaka. You can listen on TransformationTalkRadio.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Michelle is an energy healer, intuitive, and shamanic practitioner dedicated to helping you heal and transform your life. For more information about sessions, coaching, and upcoming workshops and retreats, visit SpiritWeaverJourneys.com.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I think I speak for Leon as well as myself that we are just so excited to spend this time with Holly Wharton today. We're talking about the wisdom of trees. If Trees Could Talk is the name of her best-selling book. And before we went on break, I name dropped Leonard Jacobson, who's, I don't know if he would like being called a spiritual guru, because I don't think he likes that term, but he's a spiritual teacher. And he is the king of presence. All of his teaching is around just being present in the present moment, grounding yourself in your body, just breathing. And he'll say the doorknob is also God, you know, in the shape of a doorknob. And his whole teaching is just, when we're in the present moment, there's no future, there's no past, nothing bad can happen to us, right? And one of his, he'll always say, you know, you have to, you acknowledge this, your situation, the trigger, whatever it is, you confess it, and then you forgive yourself. And he always says, he's like, do not share a confession with an unconscious human. He's like, a tree is going to want to listen to you. A tree will stand there and take your rant or your screaming or your crying. And you said that you have something like that in the book, Holly.
Yes, I do. One of the trees said, take your troubles to the trees. Whatever you're feeling, whether it's sadness, anger, frustration, just bring it to the trees, tell the trees, and you know they will take that energy from you and absorb it and kind of make it neutral. But they will absorb that icky feeling, whatever it is that your discomfort. So you can either send them your energy and they will make that neutral, or you can just download all of your stuff and just blabber it out to the tree and just let it all go, and they will listen.
And it's cathartic.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is. I think Leon would agree with me. There's definitely an exchange of energy, you know, and you do feel that there's been some sort of transmutation of that. When we were in Mendocino last year, and this was a different excursion, and we were told to find like a sacred spot that we sort of set up like an altar, whether it was in a tree or by the pond. And we were supposed to go to our sacred spot. And I was walking along the trail to get to that, what was my spot. And the ground called me and said, lay down. And I took my wrap and I laid down, and we were there. We had quite a long break, I think, to do that. And because everybody was supposed to be journaling. And I decided to take a nap in the middle of the meadow with my wrap around me. And a woman came by on a bicycle, and she's pedaling along, and she approached me. I'm sure she wasn't sure what to think. And she just leaned over and she's like, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm really good. She's like, okay. And she rode off. And that was the first time that I felt, I mean, there's an energy from nature that I feel all the time. I mean, wow, sometimes that's like, there are no words to speak, like some of the energy and almost magic that comes off the leaves and the everything out there. But this spot said, lay down, you're tired, slow down, take a nap. And I did. I was like asleep out in the middle of this field. And it was glorious. It was glorious.
I always say I sleep so well when I go camping. I love my tent so much because it's just like this little cocoon and I just sleep. I get the most deep sleep, like the longest deep sleep cycles ever. Compared to when I'm in my bed, it's just glorious.
I normally ask my guests, what are the three things they've learned? Because that's the name of the show. And this time I was like, no, I'm not going to ask Holly because and that's why you guys have to get her book. There are more than three things. There are more than three things that she's learned.
Yes.
And the three things that I've learned from this book, and there's so many chapters we didn't even, I could have a 3-hour show and we wouldn't cover everything I want to talk about. But the first thing I learned, and Leon, if you want to share your three things, I think we have time. The first thing I learned was, slow down, which, you know, we are humanity of human doings. And the slowing down is so hard sometimes. It's so hard to, because we're thinking all the things we have to do, we're caught in that cycle, my to-do list, must get this done. So goal-oriented. And again, if if nature has taught us nothing through this pandemic, it's stop. Stop moving and be still. The second thing I learned was to trust myself, which is another chapter in the book, but we're not going to talk about that. So it's a spoiler. So you can, not a spoiler, so you can read it. Because that's something that I struggle with. I feel like I'm a very intuitive person, but I don't fully leap and trust. And so I have to remember that. I want to read that again. And, the third thing I've learned is how, powerful I am. And the trees want me to know, and nature wants me to know. And that kind of comes back to that circle of when I was in that forest and I got that message is this is all here for you. It was like, beloved, I put this here for you so that you're never alone. And all you have to do is walk out into the woods and I'm here with you. Yeah.
Lovely.
Leon, do you have three things?
Well, I have more than three. But I think I'm just overall, and I will say, everyone, please just get the book. And if you only read one chapter, which I don't suggest you do, but would be really the four nights. I really love that one. I love that chapter. But I think the three things I learned, that the trees are here for us. They are really, they are our gift to here for Earth. And we are all, the trees and humans are all part of the same. We're all here the same. And so that would be number two, that we're all here together. And number three is that understanding that there is a purpose. So the trees are here for us, but yet we're all in this together. Then what is my part? And so my part is also willing to step up and to serve.
And service.
Yeah. So those are the three things. However, that's an overarching, you know, there are many, many, many aspects of the book that I enjoy, but yeah.
Yeah. This has been, incredible. I'm so, so grateful, Holly, for you taking the time to be on the show. I know you're 5 hours ahead of us, so you're doing this in the evening, and I really, really appreciate that. You can find more about Holly's work and her books and any workshops that she's doing. She's at hollywharton.com. That's H-O-L-L WORTON.com. I misspelled it a lot, so that's why I'm doing that. And Leon is at Leon Dyer, LEONEDYER.com. And she does, she also has some nature walks and things that she likes to do. For more information, pardon me and my scratchy throat. For more information on how to mentor with me, you can go to my website, SusanDolce.com. I'm not going to spell it, where you can come up, you can sign up for my bi-weekly newsletter. And that's where I feature upcoming guests and things like that. And I quite enjoy doing it. We all have a story to tell. We can live in the story or we can transform the story. It's your choice. Change your story. Change our world. Hashtag Storyfield. Thanks, Holly. Thanks, Leon. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more inspiring stories of radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. For more information on Susan and the stories that shift our souls, visit her at SusanDolce.com. That's SusanDolce.com, D-O-L-C-I. We'll see you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.